Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Together with Peter Ryan. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hi, Greg. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me on the pod.
Thank you very much. And I am super keen because we are going to discuss about CX predictions, but I think we are discussing about the right one and really well prepared. And therefore, I read your article and I was really, it was incredible what I found in such a short article. And therefore, I said, great that I can have you on the podcast. Therefore, thank you very much for your time and congratulations for the quality of your last article.
Oh, well, look, thank you very much, A, for the congratulations and B, for reading it. It's an interesting one because I always try and start the year out by writing a little bit about what the industry should be looking to anticipate over the course of the coming 12 months. My experience is, you know, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong, but the reality is, Greg, and you know this as somebody who is a thought leader in our space, people want you to have opinions. They look to you to give them an idea about what's coming down the pike, and it's better to get out there with maybe some provocative ideas than to sit on your hands and not do anything.
Peter, I think what you're saying, it's really great. And I'm already listening to the fans on the field that are clapping. But first of all, before we start the game, we would like to learn something about you. And therefore, Peter, could you please short introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I am the principal analyst and founder of Ryan Strategic Advisory. Now, this is a small organization that's dedicated to the analysis and market research components of the contact center, the CX, the BPO space. I've been in this game now, Greg, working as an analyst and advisor, coming up to 22 years. I started my career in London at Data Monitor, fantastic market research organization, in 2003. I moved over to work for a BPO for about a year and had a great time doing so, but really missed my clients and missed the advisory work. So I threw caution to the wind and started my own company towards the end of 2016. And here we are, you know, over 8 years later, and loving every minute of it, as Loverboy, a great Canadian band from the 80s, would have said.
Thank you. And I always ask this question, and I really like it. Which values driving your professional career?
That's a really good one. You know, I think there's a few things that motivate me. I would say the interest and the thirst for knowledge, the thirst for insight. I'm a very curious person by nature, and I really enjoy finding out new things. It might be new things in a new scheme of knowledge or a new subject area, but in terms of my professional career, I've really enjoyed the CX space. I've enjoyed the contact center space, and being able to try and extract what might be coming up, what are some of the key trends that maybe we are just starting to see the green shoots of. For me, that's really important. The chance to meet new people, to make new friends, to see how the industry is evolving in different parts of the world have also been, I'd say, really prime motivators for me in my career.
Thank you very much. And based on the fact that now we had few exchanges, I think you are also really curious to find out new things and to learn about new things. And therefore, I really enjoyed reading your predictions and seeing that you picked 5 topics that we would quickly touch. And I will link for sure also your article in the show notes that people can read the full article. Therefore, let's kick off the game and speak about the top CX predictions for 2025. How do you see agentic AI transforming the way we are doing business, and perhaps really being practical also, which use cases do you foresee?
I think that agentic AI is very much going to be the key AI driver in the CX space going into 2025 and throughout the course of the year. You know, I think that if we were to think a little bit about how maybe 2 years ago we would have been seeing AI driving interest in CX 24 months later, we probably would have all thought it was going to be generative AI. It was all going to be intelligent bots that were going to be doing frontline work, whether it is digital or voice-based. And to be fair, there is some of that going on. But I see the agentic AI as being a lot more interesting right now from a couple of different angles. From the angle number one, in terms of what agentic AI can do for a consumer in regards to almost self-help and figure out, maybe I don't need to interact with a web chat or a chat bot, or I don't need to get on the telephone. I can solve it myself, almost like an intelligent FAQ that you might have at your fingertips. Equally speaking, Greg, I think imagine the power of agentic AI in the form of assisting agents and making sure that the agents have that information that they require so they're not combing through multiple different databases or multiple applications. And they have what they need at their fingertips. And I know that this has been the holy grail of the contact center for years, but now we've got the power that this actually can be done. In my view, I've seen more positive discussion about this and more use cases about the use of agentic AI in the CX perspective than I have for any other type of application. And I think it's good because what we're seeing now is a proper AI use case dropping. The buyers of CX services and CX solutions were getting really sick of the 40,000 foot view. They were getting sick of the space 1999 discussions. They wanted to see real live applications and use cases. Now we're starting to get some in the form of agentic AI.
Thank you. And perhaps one question, you are 22 years in the business. Yeah. Which is the use case that you saw in the last few days, few months, that has the biggest potential? And I know for the audience, we are speaking now in January, and the episode will launch a bit later. Perhaps it's already outdated, but now we are in January, and therefore we don't know what will happen.
So the best use case for agentic AI that I've seen in the last little while, there's a lot of them. I can tell you that I've spoken to a couple of operators who have implemented this technology, and what they've seen in the context of agent retention and agent satisfaction that's gone up because of the fact that they aren't facing that sense of panic. They're able to respond much quicker to a consumer over the telephone. They've got accurate information to hand. I think to me, that really resonates and that really hits home. And this is exactly what we need to be striving for as an industry as we look to try and implement these types of technologies.
Thank you very much. Let's move to your second prediction. It's the consolidation of the mid-market BPO players.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So there is a tremendous desire on the part of a lot of different organizations very aggressively to try and reinforce their own position in the marketplace, maybe in a defensive way, try and reinforce themselves against the competition. The reality is that consolidation or M&A activity is an easy way of doing that. I don't want to say an easy way, but it's a straightforward way of doing it. Now, the mid-market is very attractive because if we're considering the mid-market sits somewhere between maybe $250 million to $750 million in revenues, there are a lot of organizations out there that fit the bill. Not as many as there were a few years ago, but there are still a good number, and they're doing some very good work. We know from our research that the appetite to work with mid-sized operators is significant amongst the enterprise community because of the fact that they perceive the mid-market as being perhaps a little bit more responsive to their needs, a little bit more agile, a little bit more flexible. What's happening is we're seeing interest amongst larger players to acquire some of these mid-market operators and perhaps allow them to retain a degree of independence and operate on their own. Or we're seeing other mid-market players that are wanting to get a little bit bigger and maybe grow into maybe a global operator or what we say a global BPO provider, you know, that $1 billion plus revenue threshold. And perhaps the acquisition of one or two other mid-market operators might help facilitate that. So in my view, this is something that we should be very aware of there's a lot of deals that are currently in play. There's a lot of organizations that are actively shopping. So we shouldn't be surprised to see more of this activity happen over the course of the next 12 months.
Thank you for this update. It's truly something relevant to understand and to focus on. You were speaking also about real-time automated voice translation. And basically, everybody, every followers knows that it's not my mother tongue, English, and also German is not my mother tongue. And I think this can be something really interesting for offshore and nearshore CX delivery. Could you please elaborate a bit on that?
Real-time automated voice translation, in my view, has the potential to be one of the biggest game changers in our industry. Greg, you are well aware, being in Europe, that there's a lot of what I would say smaller language groups that are very high value, but are very hard to source within the particular country where the consumers reside. You know, we might be thinking of Danish, we might be thinking of Swedish, we might be thinking of Dutch. It costs a fortune to run domestic contact centers. In larger markets, it's normal to consider going to the offshore or to the nearshore where there's larger, less expensive pools of talent that have got fluency in these languages. Unfortunately, in a lot of these smaller tongues or dialects, there's not that same offshore flexibility. What real-time automated voice translation allows a CX operator to do is to potentially shift some or all of that work for some of these smaller language groups into locations where an agent might be speaking in English and they've got an AI-driven interface that's going to do the translation in real time. Now, in my view, this doesn't just apply even in the longer term to some of these smaller language groups. Greg, you know as well as I do, one of the toughest languages in the world to source right now is German. It's hard to find people in Central and Eastern Europe in any large numbers that want to work in a contact center, say in a Poland or a Czech Republic or in a Hungary or a Slovakia. They're more interested, if they're a graduate with German fluency, in potentially moving out of their country into Germany, or they might want to work in an industry that they perceive as having more career opportunities or better salary possibilities. So what that means is, a lot of this work, whether it's for German or larger language pools, as well as some of the smaller ones, you can shift those potentially into India, into Egypt, into the Philippines, into Mexico, where you've got significantly high population bases. And now what this technology permits an operator to do is to satisfy the needs of these language groups out of countries like the Philippines, like in India, like in Egypt, like Mexico, where you've got population bases well in excess of 100 million people, the agents will be able to speak their own mother tongue or potentially English as the language of work and have the tool provide that simultaneous translation so that the consumer who might be speaking German, Italian, Dutch, Swedish, Danish, Norwegian, etc., is going to get that resolution they need to their problem. And they're going to be doing it all in each other's mother tongue. It's great. It's fantastic. And if it's handled properly, it will be a significant shift in terms of how work is offshored and how work is provided in the offshore for consumers in different markets.
Thank you. And you're speaking about a lot of different countries, and you said solving some problems. And what I really like and enjoyed reading your article was you were looking also outside the global situation, in particular the economic situation like tariffs, inflation, and so on.
Yeah.
And I think this year it will also impact not only CX budgets, but also the budget of complete companies. What's your view on that?
Look, we're dealing with a lot of very, very sensitive issues right now. I don't think, at least since I've left university, I've seen the world ever as unstable as we're dealing with currently. And so many different organizations are putting a premium on destinations that bring that stability value or bringing that almost like I'm trying to think of the word in English for it, but effectively that bonus of stability that comes to the table. You know, a friend of mine told me about 15, 20 years ago, this has always stuck with me, that the less expensive a destination is effectively a risk factor that you are taking on with the low price because of the fact that they're probably not going to be as stable as other destinations. And I think largely that has proven itself to be the case. Now we're shuffling the decks a little bit right now as we see some geopolitical shifts in a lot of different countries, and we've been seeing them for the past few years. But the bottom line is that, as we all know, capital hates risk. Capital hates instability. And the prime that a lot of organizations are going to be putting on working in a location that has an inherent level of stability, whether it's economic, whether it's public security, whether it's from a political standpoint, is going to be significant going into 2025.
I think this is really key, and we need to put an eye on that. But at the end, it's always important also to focus on the customer. And we are coming to your last prediction. Know the customer is becoming a critical factor in CX. How we can work on that? How we can ensure to really know our customers?
It's not hard. But, you know, it's funny because I annually conduct a survey of enterprise buyers of contact center services and solutions. And one of the things that always strikes me is one of the least invested areas of technology is analytics. And especially when it comes down to knowing the customer style analytics, so the level of personalization, segmentation, and so forth. In fact, in our last survey, Greg, I think that what we saw was that only one out of two enterprises actually was using this type of technology or had this type of technology to hand. So I think what needs to happen is, as the CX leaders and decision makers move forward in 2025, they have to understand that the only way they're going to get to know their customers better and to be able to pitch to them better and be able to sell to them better is by investing in these technology solutions, the ones that are going to allow not just understanding about where the customer is sitting today, but where they might be sitting next year, in 5 years. Because look, me as a consumer today in 2025, I'm a very different consumer than I would have been in 2015 or 2005. And having the technology that will allow not just the identification of my current needs, but the gamification, where those needs are likely to evolve as I get older and as my sophistication as a consumer changes, hopefully in the right direction, that's going to be the golden ticket for a lot of organizations if they make the right moves now.
Thank you very much. I think these are five really key predictions and things that will help us to think about and to prepare better also for this. Thank you very much. But we are still in the game. We are in the extra time. We still have 3 minutes to go. And I have three questions for you. Fast forward. Right. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
I think we're going to be discussing a lot of the same issues. I don't think that fundamentally the needs or the desires of customers or consumers are going to change that much. Fundamentally, Greg, what it comes down to, when somebody has made a purchase, somebody is looking to make a purchase, they have questions, they have desires, they need their questions to be answered accurately and efficiently. This is not going to shift, I think, all that much. Some of the technology, some of the channels, some of the ways that we interact might change, and we should anticipate that's something that we might be talking about. But really, I don't think, as I look to myself 22 years ago, starting out as a relatively fresh-faced CRM analyst working in London, things in terms of what motivates a sector have not changed very much. And I don't think that there's going to be a big shift any which way 10 years from now.
Thank you. And what's the best way to find you?
Best way to find me is on LinkedIn. If you look up Peter Ryan, the one that's based in Montreal, that's me. You can also find me at my website, which is www.ryanadvisory.com. It's not Ryan Strategic Advisory, because that, frankly, was just way too long. ryanadvisory.com.
Thank you very much. And you forgot to mention your podcast.
My podcast that I co-host with my pal, Mark Hillary, who many of your listeners will probably know, is called The CX Files. And you can find that on all major podcast applications, and we're also on the web. You can find us. We're uploaded to a few different web-based systems, but yeah, we welcome anybody's listening. We welcome anybody's feedback and comments. And if I can say, Greg, to you, congratulations on your podcast, which I think is one of the best ones out there in our space.
You are so nice. Thank you very much. But in this case, I really recommend also to the audience to listen to CX Files. It's great. And I really like the work that you are doing and the value that you are creating for the community. Now, coming to the last questions, is Peter Golden Nugget, it's something that we discussed, or something new to leave to the audience with?
Look, I think the Golden Nugget, and I love the fact you use the Golden Nugget, because that is actually my favorite hotel in Las Vegas that I stay at every time I visit the city. Golden Nugget of wisdom, I would have to say, Greg, would probably be to anybody who is in our space, do not assume for one second that you can stay still. Right now, you've got to stay moving. You've got to stay up on the trends. You've got to be aware of what's happening. There's no time for inertia. You know, anybody, as far as I'm concerned, that's standing still is moving backwards right now. And the only way that a CX leader and a CX professional is going to be able to stay ahead of the game is to make sure that they're constantly being informed. And that entails a lot of things. It means keeping up with new research. It means keeping up with some of the latest podcasts. It means having a group of individuals who maybe you enjoy following on LinkedIn, seeing what they're up to. But the bottom line is just keep consuming and keep analyzing as much as you possibly can, because the dynamism of the CX space right now is like I've never seen. And I always like to use this example. When I started out as an advisor and an analyst, we would write these reports and we'd spend 2 to 3 months putting them together. Sometimes they'd be in excess of 100 pages and our company would sell them. And they would sell them on the basis of this will have a shelf life of the next probably 12 to 18 months. Nowadays, if you write a report, it's got a shelf life of maybe 12 to 15 weeks at best. This is how things are moving. So my golden nugget would be, do not ever take anything for granted and constantly go out and find out as much as you can, and don't be afraid to ask the hard questions.
Thank you very much, Peter, for your time. I really appreciate you joining the podcast and sharing your insight and your prediction with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please, Peter, stay with me. To the audience for today, it's everything. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. As you know, feedback is a gift. Please let us know what you think about this episode, but please, contact, follow Peter and Apollo, also CX Files. It's a great podcast. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.